Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Praise the Lord. God wants us to be, he wants us to be joyful. There's nothing that makes me more joyful than munching into a little bit of pecan pie. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm feeling it right now. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Amen. If you haven't noticed, all of our kids are with us. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite all of our kids to join me right here in front of the steps. Okay. But before we do that, I just want to make something that was mentioned in our update very important. Next Sunday at 5 o'clock here in the auditorium, we are going to have our Christ-giving dinner. Okay. We encourage everybody to be here and bring family, bring whoever. Here's how it works. We invite as many people as we can come. It's a night of fun. We play games. We recognize people who have helped us throughout the year. We give away prizes. It's just a fun night. And we do that to celebrate what Christ has given us. And we celebrate about what we have, the Christ that we have given out. So that's what we do on that night. We will be here at 5 o'clock. We will start at 5 o'clock sharp. We'll start eating there. We're asking everyone who comes to bring a side, and you heard Chris say, or a dessert. We're asking you to go ahead and bring a side and a dessert, if you can, enough to feed your family or who all you are bringing, okay? So if you bring like a half a dozen cookies and bring, you know, 2 dozen people, you need to probably bring a few more cookies. You see what I'm saying? So here's what we need to do. We've got sign-up sheets in the back, and we put those sign-up sheets not out there so that we can make sure that you bring your things, but so that we don't have like 14 people bringing a green bean casserole. All right, come on, somebody. We don't want that. We want it kind of spread out. So if you want to bring your green bean casserole, you need to be there first. So anyway, on the sign-up sheet, we also have a spot where if you would like to cook a turkey or a ham. Now, here's how this works. The church, we provide all of the turkey and all of the ham, okay? And but we don't cook it all, so we need some help cooking it. If you're a master smoker, turkey smoker, or a ham cooker, you want to just check that box. We will provide those turkeys or hams to you by Wednesday of this week, okay? So if you want to pick it up on Wednesday at church, that's fine. If you want to pick it up another time, just let me know. You can have it. Just make sure it's thawed out. And I just want to tell a real quick story. We were doing this. One of the first years we were doing this, we asked folks to come and to cook turkeys. Well, one of our guys, I'm not going to mention who it is, but he was the one that was just laughing. And he's sitting over here somewhere on that side. He said, "Hey, Pastor, I'm going to try to fry a turkey this year." I'm like, "Man, that sounds great. That sounds great." He's like, "Okay, well, when am I getting to pick up turkey?" Well, I said, "Well, come get it Wednesday or whatever." I said, "They should be thawed out." So he comes and picks up a turkey. And he goes to fry that thing, and he didn't realize that the outside was thawed, but the inside was still frozen. And I don't know if you've ever put water in a bucket full of hot grease, but if you want to see a turkey get shot into the air, just put a frozen turkey into a bucket full of hot grease and just see what happens. It was a lot of fun for his wife trying to clean up all that grease that he blew up in their back porch. Anyway, we're going to do our best to try to have them thawed out and get them ready to go for you to pick up this week. But just check that box on that sign-up sheet, okay? Now, I know that there are folks who are traveling. They're gone for the holiday. They're still out of town. We will just make this available for everyone. But 5 o'clock next week, you'll be able to come and store, bring that food, and we'll put it all together. We're also going to need some significant help next Sunday taking all of these chairs that you see. I need some men to help us next Sunday. So plan on staying a few minutes extra. We're going to move all these chairs out of the way. We're going to put tables into this room, and we're going to have our dinner here in the auditorium because basically it's the only place we can get everybody in unless we want to build a tent in the back. So we're going to put everybody here. You just have to be careful because it does kind of slant a little bit. So if you're prone to spilling things, well, this is going to up the odds of you spilling something a little bit more, but that's all right. Carpet's fine. So anyway, we're going to be eating. That's all next week. So sign up before you leave today. And make sure that you invite some folks. This is an opportunity for you to invite folks to come and just to hang out with people in the church. Get to know one another. This is part of one of you getting to meet somebody else. If you haven't met or introduced everybody in the church, then you're shortchanging yourself. Because there's people in this church that are just incredible folks. All of you are. And it's awesome just to get to know and to shake hands. And I met some of you already this morning, but it's just been a pleasure. So just want you to be aware of that next week. All right. Today is family worship. And all of our kids have come, or not all of them, but most of them have come. And I want to invite all of the kids that are in the room to come join me right here in front of the steps. Moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, you're going to have to just give me just a minute, because we do family worship so that our kids can see what mom and dad do when they worship Jesus. I think it's important. So can I have all the kids come? If you're in elementary school or you're in preschool, come right here. Come on, come on, come on, right up here. Sarah, come help me. Bring my papers. Come on up here. Elias, come here. Sit right here by me. Sit right here. I just need those right there. Sit down right here by me. You guys just sit right there on the floor, right there in front of me. Just crisscross applesauce or whatever, however you can kneel down. You guys squeeze in real tight. Squeeze in real tight. Come here, Carter. Come sit by me. Come sit by me. Come sit right up here. Sit right here. Sit right here by Liz. Yeah, there you go. Now, y'all, you're facing the wrong way. What are y'all doing? Putting on a play? Come, look at, facing me. Facing me. Facing me. Come here. Come here, Joseph. Come here. Sit right here. What do you got? Oh, you got Thomas the Train? Okay, well, Jesus can ride that train too. Come on, let's just, come on. Come on, Peyton. Come here and, you guys come here and sit by me. Yeah, let's look. I'm going to show you something, okay? There you go, Jediah. How many of you guys know this? Did you know that the Bible tells us that whenever two or three people gather, get together, do you know who's in the middle of them? God. What? Is that what the Bible tells us? That whenever we come together, that Jesus is with us, that God's presence is with us? Did you guys know that?
No.
How many of you know how to add? How many of you know that 1 plus 1 equals 3, right?
Two.
What?
1 plus 1.
Now, wait a second. What school did you go to? 1 plus 1 equals 3, right?
No, 2.
Well, I went to school in Oklahoma, so I guess that counts. All right. 1 plus 1. Let me show you. Let me show you something really neat. What color is this? What color is this? Anybody know?
Blue.
What color is this?
Yellow.
Let's. Yeah, that's right, Carter. Well, whoa. I like well, whoa. Look here. Look. I want you to do something for me. Can you color a little bit of yellow on that? Color yellow. Let's see how pretty you can color. Just scribble yellow, real solid, right there. Yeah, make it yellow. Keep going. Keep going. Make me a big old box of yellow. There you go. Okay. Now, here's what I want you to do. Now, what color is this? Blue. Now, I want you to put the blue on top of the yellow. What happens? It turns what? It turns green. So, wait a second. We've only got two colors here. We've got yellow and blue, right? Two colors. So 1 plus 1 equals 2. But wait a second. We've got three colors. 1 plus 1 equals 3. I told you I was right.
No, it's 2.
Because yellow and blue make green. You got blue and yellow, and now you've got green. So we got three colors. Let me tell you something. Listen. It's because of this. When you come to know or come together to worship Jesus, and I come together, or your mom, or your grandpa, or your dad, they all come together. Guess what? It's not just you and your mom and your grandpa or your aunt or your friend. It's you and your mom and grandpa and me and God. That's right. That's right. So whenever you come together to worship the Lord, always know that He is with you. Right, Peyton? That is right.
The biggest word is the Bible.
That's it. I love it too. That's it. Let's just pray that Jesus is always with us. Okay? Let's pray together. Can y'all do that? You want to pray with me, Joseph? Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray that Jesus will always be with us. Jesus, I thank you for all of these kids who are here. I just pray that you would always let them know that you're never far away from them. That whenever you come together, we come together and worship you, that you are in the midst of our hearts. I pray that, Lord, that you would be with them, walk with them, go with them, and keep them from this world. In Jesus' name, and everybody say what? Amen. Thank you guys for helping me out. All right, you can go back to your seats this morning. Are you ready, Joseph? Or are you going to stay with me? Oh, you colored this for me. Thank you, Jediah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Do I get a hug? Is that what you're looking for? All right. Let's give our kids a big hand. I just want you to know that's awesome. There is no greater treasure in the church than what you just saw. Amen? They're not the future church. They are the church. Come on. They're not going to be. They are. And we are instilling in them some important things in their life right now. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to look with me in several places. But you can start in the book of Matthew chapter 20. Juanita, could you bring my mic down? Just let them ring in just a little bit. As I thought this week about what the Lord wanted me to just share with you, I just want you to know this. You're going to leave this house in just a few moments encouraged and filled with hope. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready to be encouraged. The Word of God is going to encourage your life, going to bring you hope today. I was driving to church this morning. I told Shannon, I said, you know what the Lord laid on my heart is something that's so simple. It seems so basic, but it is so uplifting. I enjoyed Thanksgiving dinner and eating pie, and I had all kinds of pies that I had to eat. When I was a kid, my grandma always made pecan pie. And I hated it because I thought that I didn't like pecans. Until one day, she snuck one in on me. She said, son, I made you a pecan pie. And I said, oh, well, I don't like pecans. She said, well, this one doesn't have pecans on it. And I said, well, how can it be a pecan pie? It doesn't have pecans. She said, well, you can call it a syrup pie. So she slides this thing underneath me, and I think I almost got sick eating that thing. And the next time she said, son, I made you a pecan pie. And I said, yeah, but I don't like pecans, but I do like syrup pie. She slid that thing underneath me, and what she didn't tell me was she had slipped a few pecans in there. I knew it when I bit into them, and I thought, well, it's not too bad. It still tastes like syrup pie. Next year she said, son, I made you a pecan pie. I said, yeah, but I'm not real fond of pecans. They're okay. You know, I'm getting used to them. Well, try this one. Had a few more pecans on it. I liked it. Wasn't too bad. Finally, she said, son, I'm telling you, you're going to like pecan pie. And I said, you know what? I might just like it. She slid me a pecan pie. I had pecans all over it. I ate the whole thing. I was glad that she told me about pecan pie. I'm glad somebody told me about Rocky Road ice cream. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad somebody told me how good tamales were. Y'all going to be saying, preach quick, Pastor. I'm getting hungry. I know how it's going. I'm glad that somebody that had a dog and wanted to walk me around in their backyard told me, hey, watch where you step. I'm glad somebody told me these things. There are things in my life I am very glad somebody told me. I'm glad that somebody along the way told me, said, hey, I think that girl over there likes you. And when I looked at Shannon, I was like, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad somebody told me about that. I'm glad that it was not held back. I'm glad somebody told me that there was a group of people in Denton, Texas that loved Jesus, and I am in the middle of them right now. We're not alone, but I'm just telling you, I'm glad somebody told me that there were things in life that I would have missed out unless somebody would not have told me that they were there. As I thought about that, God, I'm glad that I was informed of some of these things in my life. I am so glad that somebody told me about Jesus. I look at my life and I think, oh, what would my life have been like had I not been told about Jesus? We've been talking about it all morning. Josh didn't know that I was going to be preaching this. Philip didn't know I was going to be preaching what I'm preaching. But I am so glad that one day in my life, somebody told me about Jesus. My friends, I'm telling you, there is no greater change that can come upon your life than when somebody tells you about Jesus Christ, the one who can save and redeem your life. I'm going to bring to your attention four things that I'm glad somebody told me. I'm glad that somebody told me that Jesus saves. If you look in Matthew chapter 20, there's a story. Verse 29 said, "And Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, and a large crowd followed him. Two blind men." Blind. They were blind. They could not see. Now, I want you to understand that in the scriptures, there's a greater expansion of the understanding of blindness. There is physical blindness where you can't see the seat in front of you, or you can't see to walk. But there is also spiritual blindness, where you cannot see and understand what life truly is. You cannot see the truth because the world or the enemy has blinded your eyes. He has covered your life with a cloth that seems like it is opaque and you cannot see out of it. But these two men are blind. Most likely not just physically blind, but spiritually blind. And they were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard, listen to this, when they heard that Jesus was going by, when somebody told them, they didn't see Jesus, obviously. They didn't look down the road. Somebody walked by these guys, or they overheard somebody say, "You know what? Jesus, that miracle worker, is walking down the road. Here he comes. Here comes the guy that says he is the Son of God." Somebody said something. And these men turned up on the inside and they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Somebody told them Jesus was coming. Somebody told them Jesus was on his way. And they responded to that message and said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and he called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. What an incredible question. They're sitting there blind, physically. But Jesus says, "What is your greatest need? What do you want the most?" "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight, not just to physically see, we want to truly see for the first time." And Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes. And immediately they not only received their sight, but they did what? They followed him. Their life was changed because Jesus had come and not only saved them from their physical blindness, but he saved them from their spiritual blindness. Friends, I remember the night that I gave my heart to Jesus for the very first time. Kids, you're hearing me in this room this morning. You're here at church, hearing Pastor preach. I was a little child when I walked down the aisle and knelt at an old wooden altar like this. It was a little bit different because that altar had two slats and it had a space in the middle. And if the preacher ever wanted you to come down and be prayed for and you couldn't stand long and you sit on the altar, those things would spread apart. But when you went to get up, it'd pinch you right where it counted. And you had to just make sure that it wasn't the Holy Ghost that got on you and it was the altar that had just pinched you, okay? But I knelt at a little altar just like that. And I remember as a 5-year-old boy, I hadn't committed a whole lot of vast sins that the world would consider great. I hadn't done things that was worthy of being locked in jail or outcast of society. But I knew in my young heart that Jesus was not at the center of my life. I knew that I needed a Savior. I knew that there was something missing. I could see that the truth that had been given to me when that night that preacher told me that Jesus saves, that he heals, and that he delivers. When I heard that message, my heart responded, and immediately sight came into my life when I confessed my sin to Jesus and said, "I don't want you to just come and forgive me of my sin, but I want to serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life." I'm so glad that I was told one day that Jesus saves. My testimony is not some fantastic story of how God brought me out of the dregs of sin, But my testimony is a coveted testimony because the Lord kept me from the dregs of sin because He saved me as a 5-year-old boy. John 9 tells us whenever, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. It was the testimony of the blind man. I don't know how this all worked, but I'm glad that one day somebody told me that Jesus was coming by. I don't know what had happened in my life, except I know that I was blind, but now, friends, I can see. I was young in ministry, and I was in church. We were in the office area, and I remember, I'll never, ever forget it. There's a man that walked in to the side of the church. He walked in, he had a long ponytail, black hair. Walked in, he had overalls on. I thought, man, what kind of deal is this? He walked past us in the offices, and I remember a few of the pastors and the leadership was there. And he walked in, and he left. And I thought, that's strange. It wasn't a week or so later. Same exact thing happened. We're coming out of the office. We're about to go into service. And this guy in the overalls and his big, long ponytail, he looked rough. I mean, he was the kind of guy you did not want. You could just tell, don't mess with this guy. He's tough. He'll eat you without a fork. He's just mean-looking guy. Tough. He walked into the office area. And I was on staff, just starting ministries. My dad was there, and he walked out. And I remember him stopping us as we were about to go onto the platform, go onto the stage, go start service. And he stopped us right there, and he said, I want to know something. Is this a place that you can get saved? Boy, how he did not know what was about to happen to his life. That man's name was Jack. Jack walked in the first time, casing out the church to see what he could steal. He was coming to steal the church, steal stuff from the church. He's going to see how he could get in. He was going to keep the doors unlocked, Jimmy a door. He was going to steal stuff out of the church. But when he got to the church and he felt something he had never felt before, he left and came back and realized that he was not there to take anything from the church. He was there to receive something from God. And he said, is this a place that I can get saved? See, Jack knew he needed to be saved. The light had come on. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, the light had come on and radically changed his. And I remember that night, Jack Price praying the sinner's prayer and giving his heart to the Lord. This man who had been one of the key figures of the drug trade and kind of the you'd call it the redneck mafia in that whole area. He was a part of that underworld that had been so opposed to what God really desired in their life. And that day, he gave his heart to Jesus, and he never looked back. Because somebody told him, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I'm so glad that Jack Price heard that Jesus saves, that if you confess your sins, that He is faithful and just, and He will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. You know why I'm so thankful that Jesus saves and that Jack Price was told that Jesus saves? It's because his son and daughter-in-law are sitting right here on the front row. Stand up, John and Andrea. Thank you. And because his granddaughter and grandson-in-law are sitting right over here. Would you stand up, Megan and Brandon? A family was changed because one man was told that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Friends, I don't know what sin that you've committed, where you've been, what you've done. I've got a message for you today. There is a Jesus, and he lives in, he's right here among us, and he saves from every sin that you've ever committed. Jesus saves. He didn't quit saving with Jack Price. He still saves today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for those of you who know Jesus, I want you to hear these words. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Jack was freed from that life of sin and set on a path of freedom and righteousness because Jesus saved. I'm glad I was told Jesus saves. Glad Jack, Johnny, you glad Jack was told? Megan, you glad Jack was told that Jesus saves? I'm glad that I was told. I'm glad that somebody told me one day that Jesus heals. Some of you say, Pastor, come on. That's just something y'all talk about in church just to kind of get people fired up. Friends, oh, how have you missed it if that's the only thing that you believe about the power of God to heal? In Luke chapter 4, there's a story about a man in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was Peter's hometown. The Apostle Peter's hometown was Capernaum. Matter of fact, one of the first miracles that Jesus did, he went to Peter's house and his mother-in-law, the Bible says, had a fever. And she wasn't able to make dinner. And Jesus was hungry enough, he said, look, we're going to have to get mama-in-law healed so she can make us some dinner. I want some of that pecan pie, Peter. And so what happens? The Bible says that the Lord rebukes the fever and that Peter's mom-in-law gets up and starts making dinner. Thank you, Jesus, for healing. And because of that, people had gathered around Peter's house. And the Bible says that they had brought all types of people who were sick. And the Bible says that Jesus began to heal all different types of diseases. It didn't matter if it was the common cold or cancer. It's the same C word. It doesn't matter. The power of God is the same. And word began to travel that Jesus was healing the sick. Word came to a man in a very high position. As a matter of fact, he wasn't a Jewish person. He was not he didn't grow up in a godly home, you could say. He was a Roman centurion. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 that they had brought all of these people. Word gets out. Jesus heals them. In Luke chapter 7, there was a centurion servant whom his master valued highly was sick and he was about to die. And look at verse 3 of chapter 7. The centurion had heard. Somebody told this man about Jesus. He didn't just hear that Jesus saves, but he also heard Jesus heals. And he had heard of Jesus, and he sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and to heal his servant. Skip down to verse 6. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him to say this, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I don't deserve for you to come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But notice what he says. But just say the word. Just say the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed. Lord, all you need to do is just speak. I've heard what you can do. I've heard the power that you have in your words. You don't have to come here to my house. Matter of fact, I would be embarrassed if you even came. But Lord, just speak the words. Wow, what a powerful thought. Lord, I'm sick. Would you just speak the word, Lord? Just speak that word of healing to come upon my grandmother. Speak that word of healing upon my daughter. Speak that word of healing upon my coworker right now in the middle of this office. Speak the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed. He was told that Jesus could heal all manner of sickness. And thank God he was told that, because the Bible goes on to tell us that Jesus spoke the word and his servant was immediately healed. I want you to know, friends, I'm glad that I was told one day that Jesus heals. I was in the middle of Ukraine. Shannon and I were together. We were compressed into this little bitty car driving to an area that no American missionary had been since the Soviet Union had fallen apart. This was in about early 2000s. We were going to the city of Gvardes. The reason why nobody had ever been there is because it was a military town. It'd be like driving to Killeen, going into Fort Hood or something like that. We were driving there, and I remember my pastor friend looked over at me, and he said, I asked him, I said, you know, is this going to be trouble? He said, no. He said, in his own language, he said, just look Russian. I was like, okay. Yeah. So we're riding in this car. We look like we're sandwiched. Shannon and I are in the back of this small, what they call Ladas. It's a Lada car. It'd be like the, I don't even know what you just, think of the smallest Toyota car that you can think of. That's what we were in. And we roll up and we get to this city. We're met by a couple of soldiers with Kalashnikovs, AK-47s. They let us in. We go through the gate. We get in there to have this church service. We have this service. It's almost in the size of, looked like a closet. I mean, it's just a real narrow little room. It was the only space that they could get, that they could kind of be isolated away from everybody. And we started having church, and they started cranking the music. And I'm like, dear God, we're snuck in here, and now they're blaring music, you know, just singing. They just got happy and excited. I guess they just reckon, hey, the Lord's with us. Ain't nothing going to stop. If he's for us, who can be against us, right? So they're singing and dancing and have a good time, you know. And, I mean, it was one of those up-close and personal kind of church services. And I preached that night. And at the end of my message, I felt the Lord say, I want to heal someone in this room. And so I didn't know what to do or who the Lord was calling me to pray for. So I said, if you need healing in your body, I just want you to make a line right here. And boy, they just kind of begin, a few people kind of begin to move. And I thought, you know, I remember turning back to the side. I was like, Lord, let the power of God just be here. That the very first person that I pray for, may they be healed, and God, may you receive the glory. And I remember I turned back and I looked at the first person in line. It was a guy that had this huge growth on the side of his neck. And I was like, God, send somebody else in the front of the line. Put somebody else up front. Maybe somebody's got a cold or a sore throat, you know, or you know, a bruise or something. Lord, just put somebody else, because I think I can handle that. Come on, come on. My faith can handle that, but this guy that's got this big old thing hanging on his neck, I don't know. This is going to have to just be you. Come on, Christian. Come on, Christian. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes our faith is more in ourselves and what we think we can do and what God can do. Come on. Come on. And I said, all right. Well, here we go. I walked down there and I began to pray. I just said, God, give me faith. As I began to pray for this man, speak the word. I remember I put my hands on him. I put my hand upon, as the scripture says, if anyone who is sick, may they call the elders of the church, may they lay their hands upon them, anoint them with oil, and that they would be recovered, they would be healed. And I remember praying for him, and some of those Russian pastors, those Ukrainian pastors, we were praying for him. And I closed my eyes, and I was saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I opened my right eye, and he still had that thing. I said, try again, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Nothing. Finally, after about 5 minutes of praying, I was like, we got to move on. So we prayed. This man still had this mass, this growth that was hanging right off his neck. Turned around, he walked right back to the back. And I was like, oh, God, give me faith to pray for the next. And there was about 15 people that we prayed for that night to be healed. Walked back, you know, we started service. And of course, you know, if you know the Russian culture, man, they love to sing. So they just took off singing again. We prayed for everybody. We're singing and dancing and stuff like that. And I'm over there in the corner feeling sorry for myself. Thinking, God, I let these people down. Once again, I was thinking me. God, I told them that you could heal. And as I'm over there having my pity party, all of a sudden I hear this commotion going on in the back. I hear these people start saying things, and my Russian was about caveman style at those days. I could say ugh and, you know, bathroom, and that was about it. I hear something. But you can always, in almost any language, you can hear the name Jesus. I was like, whoa, what's going on? And I began to kind of look around. The pastor went to the back. He was gone for a few seconds, and I thought, uh-oh, what's going on? All of a sudden, people kind of begin to stand. They begin to look back. It's kind of like a wave just kind of started coming toward me. And I saw these people begin to lift their hands as the pastor held this man by the hand, and he came out into my visibility, and he began to walk down the aisle toward me with nothing on his neck but skin that was as normal as my own skin. And he walked right to the front, and he said, he preached that Jesus heals. I want you to know Jesus still heals. And that place, it looked like a circus. It just blew up. You say, Pastor, that's stuff that happens around the world. Friends, friends, friends. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same in Ukraine. He is the same in Russia. He's the same in Africa, in South America. He is the same right here in Denton, Texas. I am so glad somebody told me that Jesus heals, because whenever I'm sick, I call on the Lord to come and to touch my body. It doesn't matter if you've got cancer or a terrible headache. I want you to know this morning, Jesus heals. I'm glad that somebody told me that Jesus heals. Glad somebody told me that Jesus delivers. Psalm 34 says this, 19 says, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Jesus never said that you wouldn't live life without any scars. I've got scars in my life. I've got scars on my body. As we were working over here, I showed some of these men, I've got a huge scar right here where I was pretending to be an electrician one day and realized what electricity really does when it comes in contact with a steel metal watch. I've got a scar on my leg right here where I was stabbed with a knife by my own hand. Yeah, see, I had some of you going. You were thinking, man, this guy is a... Wow. I've got scars right here on my right hand where I slammed a huge glass jar down on a sidewalk with my hand. Not on purpose, but because I was clumsy and tripped. I've got scars that have produced pain and blood and anxiety and hurt and worry in my life. And some of you have experienced those scars. They may not be on your skin, but you may have them on your heart. You see, in life, Jesus promised us. He said in the scripture, he says, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. Scars will remind you of things in your life that were not pleasant, that they weren't something that you enjoyed. But they can also remind you of God's presence during those times. When you look at that scar, it's not just the pain that you see, but you see the Savior there. You see Jesus in the middle of that circumstance. I was in college coming home from Bible school once. It was a Sunday afternoon, I believe. I'm driving up I-35, South Dallas. I'm coming up and at about Pleasant Run Road. Some of you probably know where this is. At 35 and Pleasant Run, I'm just driving in my car doing 70 miles an hour. And I look up and I see a Ford Bronco in the air coming at my car. I had nowhere to go. There was a car to my right. I had cars behind me. This Bronco is in the air. The man that I later found out had a heart attack and lost control, and he's driving 70 miles an hour. His Ford Bronco had jumped in the air and was coming my direction. I could do nothing but utter this one word, Jesus! That's all I could say. I didn't know what else to say. Jesus! That Bronco went over the hood of my car, landed in the ditch, whipped around, it broke the front axle off, it whipped around and was coming back at the car behind me. As I looked at all this took place in a matter of just a few seconds, whips around, the bumper of that car gets caught in that steel cable that they have along the highway and stops it before it slams into an 18-wheeler that was coming right up behind me. Friends, things may be flying at you. You may be speeding through life at 70 miles an hour, and you may look up and all of a sudden you see trouble right in your windshield. It may look like that this is it, that it is over, that it's not going to, that this is not going to turn out well. But I've got something to tell you today. Jesus delivers. And I'm so glad that somebody told me that Jesus delivers, so that when I was in a pinch, when I was in a place where I could not fix it myself, there was nothing I could do. My hands were tied. There was nowhere I could go. I had no escape. There was a name that I called upon in my trouble that said, if you will call upon my name, that I will deliver you and I will answer you. Hallelujah. I'm glad I was told that Jesus delivers, so that that day I called upon it, Jesus, save. And he did. And finally, as I close, I'm glad I was told that one of these days, Jesus is coming again. Now let me just say this. We look at life, especially if you're younger, and I consider myself younger, regardless of what anybody else says or thinks. We look at life like it's going to last. We're going to go on and do whatever we want to do. But my friends, your life is a breath. It's a vapor in the air. It's the green grass that passes away in the fall. It just fades out. It's the leaves that fall from the tree. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. Jesus told his disciples, who were under serious anxiety of what's going to happen, he says in John 14, I am going to prepare a place for you. Jesus has gone and left us so that he can prepare a place for us. And he says this in verse 3, he says, and if I leave and I go to prepare that place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I want you to get very serious for just a moment. And I want you to understand this next statement. I want you to think about it, because it could determine the destiny of your life. This life that you have, what you see right now, what you'll go home and see this afternoon, what you feel, sense, touch, taste, is not all there is. Your life, your 20 years, your 40 years, your 61 years, your 85, your 90 years on this earth is not all there is. You haven't seen a speck of what real life really is. You have yet to taste the sweet touch of eternity upon your lips. You have yet to see the glory of eternity with God. Now I'm about to get excited. Because as I begin to contemplate this morning early, sitting in my study, we go through these cycles and we get up and we go to church and we go to the job and we do this and we do that and we say goodbye and we say hello, my friends. This life is not all there is. We have to say goodbye to those that we love. Some of you have experienced a holiday this year without a person sitting at that place of the table. There's been some who have gone before us, who we've lost before. Can I just tell you, it's not just about what Jesus saves us from, it's what Jesus saves us for. Your goal is not to see how successful you can just be in this life, or so see how many people know you, or how big you can grow your bank account, or how many houses you can buy, or how big of a nice of a car that you can have. Oh, friends, there is so much more to be living for than just those menial temporary things. There is an eternity that is waiting for you. Jesus is waiting for you to cross that finish line. And one of these days, you may be the age of one of my best friends at 23, killed in a motorcycle accident. Or you may grow old and have your hair turn white or gray. But one day you will cross the threshold of death and you will walk from this life into the life beyond. And you will stand forever in eternity in one of two places. And the choice is yours. But I want you to be told this, that one day Jesus is coming again. He's coming whether you are alive and remain, or whether you have already been placed 6 feet in the ground. Jesus is coming again. He's preparing a place for you to be ready. I want to tell everybody I know, in the years that I have on this earth, in the hours that I have, Jesus is coming. We've got to be about the Master's Business Journey Fellowship. There is a church that needs to get about the business of the Master to tell this world that Jesus is coming back. Stop being sold down the river by Hollywood and what the world, the corporate world, tells you this life is all about. He set air in your lungs. He put blood coursing through your veins so that the greatest story that's ever been told, a God who sent His Son to this earth to redeem those who could not redeem themselves, has come, and He will return again to receive those who have accepted Him. Can't tell you how much that excites me. Can't tell you how exciting that is to know that this life is not all there is. Thank God. I've got more to live for. And it's called eternity. I've got Jesus. In death or in life, I win. I win. So if you're overwhelmed by sin this morning, have you heard that Jesus saves? If you're covered in heavy in sin this morning, have you been told yet that Jesus saves? If you're sick this morning, you've been dealing with a disease that the doctors have said is incurable. Have you heard? Have you been told, my friend, that Jesus heals? If you're in trouble, if you're weighed down by addictions, if you found yourself in the pinch of life, The pressure seems to be so heavy upon you, you can't even hardly take a deep breath. Have you been told, have you heard that Jesus delivers us from our troubles? If you're frustrated with the direction that this world is going, it seems so chaotic, seems so out of control. Oh, friends, have you been told? Have you heard that Jesus is coming back? He's coming back. It's all right. Hang in there. He's coming back. Close with this verse. Paul says in Romans 10, he says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How can anyone go and tell them without being sent?" Friends, there's a world waiting to be told. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, and Jesus is coming back. Would you stand with me this morning? Come on. I think it'd be just appropriate if we just lifted our hands right now and just said, "Thank you, Jesus, for telling me that you saved me right now. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from my troubles and from my fears. Thank you, Jesus, because I know that this life is not all there is. There is glory to be lived for. There is a life beyond this life to be reached, to be touched. One day you're going to cross that finish line." Come on, friends, just begin to thank God right now. Thank the Lord that somebody told you somewhere along the way, somebody told you Jesus saves. Begin to thank him right now for your salvation. Begin to thank him for being healed over and over. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for delivering me from my troubles, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for I know that you're coming back. You're coming back. No more goodbyes. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more separation, Jesus. Thank you for reminding me this morning that you're coming back. You're coming back, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, if there's anyone in this room this morning, Lord, who doesn't know you, I pray that, Lord, right now, that your Holy Spirit would begin to move upon their life, that you would bring them and draw them to you right now in the name of Jesus. Friend, if you're here this morning and you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit upon your heart, you've heard me this morning and I gave you the words, Jesus saves. If you are covered in sin this morning, if you have missed the mark, if you have not done what God has intended your life to become, I want you to know there is a Savior. He's ready to meet you this morning. And as we pray, as I pray over you one more time, I want you to make your way to the front right now. If you need Jesus in your life, you need to know that Jesus saves. I want you to not wait. As I begin to pray, you move out right where you are. You come to the front. You begin to raise your hands and say, "Jesus, I need a Savior." You be like Jack Price. "Is this a place I can get saved? Is this a place I can get rid of this heavy sin? Is this a place where I can do away with this old life and start all over?" Jesus saves, friends. If you're here this morning, don't wait. Wait another second as I begin to pray. If you're here this morning, you say, "Lord, I'm going to step out in faith in healing. I know that Jesus still heals." You may have a headache. You may have walked in with a stomach cramp. You may have walked in and you may have been diagnosed with a terminal illness. Let me tell you, friends, Jesus still saves. He doesn't care. He still heals. He doesn't care what the sickness is. You're in a pinch. You're in trouble. Jesus delivers this morning. Amen. As I begin to pray, I want you to move forward and I need some of our prayer team to come. As they come, I want you to stand behind them. I want you to begin to lift them up in the name of Jesus. Right now, Father, I just pray right now, Lord, all over this room, before we leave this morning, that, Lord, that you would speak to those, Lord God, that you're speaking right now, Lord. Draw them, Lord, draw them. Give them the courage to step out in faith and to come to you right now this morning. Lord Jesus, if there is one person, Lord, that needed to hear this message that you save and that you heal, and that you deliver, and that you're coming again, Lord, I pray that they would not wait, but they would respond to the words of the gospel, Lord Jesus, this morning.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.